As you just reach your hands out towards him. Father, we just thank you for this man of God in our midst. Lord, we thank you for his heart to serve and to love and to make you known, God, in real ways. And today, God, we just put a draw, Lord, on your Holy Spirit within him. And Father, we honor him as one, Lord, that you love and one that loves you. And we ask, Father God, that what you have given him, Father, would come forth, Lord, with anointing and with power and with clarity, God, for your kingdom and for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. I have to write my notes down so I stay on track, which isn't a bad thing. I'm known to get off on bunny trails. Sure you will. I always find it interesting in a corporate worship how songs are played, and it really ministers to me, and it has a lot to do with either a message like this or something that's going on in my life that week, you know. And as Aaron was doing the song, the new song, it just really ministered to me, because it really, you know, Scott was talking about training children in worship, and I remember as my children were growing up, and I would train them, and part of my training was in our living room, and I would always encourage them, be conscious of the words, you know, because I believe that God inspires artists to write words and messages that are on his heart. And so I was greatly encouraged, because really what I wanted to speak about, what's been on me, and it's really my life. When I say what's been on me, it's really my life. And the question of how do we live? You know, how do I live my life? And I too surrendered my life over to the Lord 32 years ago this fall. And as many of you know, my lifestyle at that time was pretty out of control. And so I get saved, I get grounded in a church, and it's a spirit-filled church, and I was raised Catholic, nothing against Catholics, but, you know, when I walked into this church and people were singing and dancing, and there's prophetic words given and then interpretations, I had no grid for any of that. But I walked away, well, God's here. I just knew it. I had no understanding, but I knew that. And I was blessed in that the gentleman that led me to the Lord, you know, we were having Bible studies in his apartment, and he encouraged me to get in the Word, and I'm reading the Bible, and I just couldn't make sense of it, you know. I say I couldn't make sense of it. What I should say is I knew that this was going to be the formula of how to live my life, but there's things that didn't make sense. But I did understand that God started giving me revelation. Before I was ever saved, he gave me a scripture that was the foundation of my life in 1 James about joy. You know, and so as I looked back on my life and as I look at my life today, I'm always asking questions. Am I living out of the thoughts in my head that are not of God? Am I living out of stress? Am I living out of fear? Am I being critical and judgmental of people? Am I living out of disappointment because I have an expectation that expectation doesn't get met? And there's several scriptures that are tied into this message, but there's two that I want to read that really are kind of at the foundation. And the first one is Romans 6. It says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer live as slaves. because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died for sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive alive to God in Christ. And then the other one is in Matthew, when Jesus told us how to pray. And it says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And I'll stop there. The significance of that is that I came to understand, once I surrendered my life and accepted Christ, my life changed. You know, I have an eternal life, but I'm struggling with the woundedness and the traumas of life, and I'm struggling with sin, and I'm struggling with all those things, as I would act out or as I would be tormented, I kept going back to God, and I would repent and I'd ask God, whatever the root of this, free me up of this, you know, heal me of this. My life since I've been saved has been a life about inner healing. It's about a life about restoration. He's restored my marriage. He's restored relationships. He's restored me. I truly am a new person in Christ. Well, it came to a point in time to where every time this would happen, and there is repentance. When I sin, I need to repent. We all need to repent. But I got the revelation that every time I stumble, every time I have these thoughts in my head that are not of God, I was going back to the new man and trying to change the new man. And this, God reminded me of this scripture. He died. He died on the cross. The significance of that is at that time of my life, I started shifting. Every time that I would practice life and make a mistake or be tempted or tormented, I would go to, well, God, I'm a new man. I need to focus on the new man. You know, joy and peace is what God showed me. You know, there's many scriptures. The key scriptures for me was in James. Count trials of any kind pure joy. I'm paraphrasing. For the increasing of your faith and increasing of your perseverance. You know, and he showed me that 9 months before I ever got saved. And once I got saved, he took me back. And it had a whole new meaning. You know, there in Thessalonians, it tells us, to rejoice always, to be joyful always. Give thanks in all circumstances and to pray continuously. These were foundational things that I recognized. If I truly am going to be this new man, and I am this new man, that is my true identity, I had to get to a place where it was operational in my life every day in every circumstance. Yeah. Before I got saved, I started recognizing that my life was out of control and I needed to be thankful. And at that time in my life, the only thing I had to be thankful for was I wasn't using and I wasn't in jail. Once I got saved, that attitude of gratitude took on a whole new meaning because I understood. I started getting knowledge in my mind and in my heart who was the provider of all those things to be thankful for. I recognize that if Christ is in me and he's called the Prince of Peace, then why shouldn't Christ's peace be on me and in me? So in all circumstances, every time I had something come up in life that wasn't joyful, that was a trial, that was my anger, my rage. You know, I grew up in a household that was very dysfunctional, so the only acceptable emotion was anger and rage. And I took that into my life, and I took that into my marriage. And after a while, I recognized that I had bought into a lie. And many of you have heard me say this, is I would get angry at my wife or my kids, and in the midst of it spewing out, I would repent, ask their forgiveness, and say, but you understand that's just how I'm made. Until one time I was silent enough to where God said, no, I didn't make you that way. And in that moment, I realized that for years, I'd came into an agreement with a lie of the enemy about myself. So again, it was just another opportunity to, okay, then if that's the old man that died on the cross, if I get angry, I need to repent of it. But how do I get the joy and the peace? I remember one time, if memory serves me right, I looked up, and depending on the translation, joy and peace are in Scripture over 240 times each. You know, the key scriptures that God was giving me in my early walk and even today focused around joy and peace. I look at Jesus, and there's times that it's recorded to where he went off by himself. I believe he'd go to rest, and I believe resting in God is connected with joy and peace. There's times if I don't have joy or peace, if I get upset or something bothers me, I pretty much know I'm not in joy and peace. And so I stop, and I rest, and I get connected up, and I get the joy and the peace. Now, here's another revelation that I got that about the Lord's Prayer. One time, I can't remember what it was, but I remember one time my response wasn't God's response, you know. The thought, for some reason, the Lord's Prayer popped in my head. Obviously, it was God. And it's kind of like, you know, it says on earth as it is in heaven. I think about when I'm in heaven, am I going to be stressed in heaven? Am I going to be angry? Am I going to be fearful? Am I going to have these thoughts of disappointment at Andy? I don't. I know him well enough. You know, but I have these thoughts in my head every day that I have to guard myself, you know. And then the scripture of, you know, take every thought captive. Oh, so that's what that means. God gave us a free will to choose him, but he gave us a free will to choose what scripture says every day of our life. I can choose to be joyful. Yeah. I can choose to be peaceful, or I can choose judgment or anger. I can choose to point at anyone or everyone outside myself as they're the reason I'm not happy. They're the reason, you know, that I have fill in the blank, whatever it is. You know, for me, it's about in all circumstances. Many of you have heard me say this. I have my attitude of gratitude morphed into moments of appreciation, and I have a bunch of them. And that's how, if I'm in a moment of stress or anger or disappointment or something negative, and the thoughts start running through my head, I instantly will say Paul, and it just, it quiets me down. You know, it brings me to where I'm connected up. And that's the way I combat the old man. If I'm not operating as the new man, the new creation of Christ in me, my goal, I don't do it well. I'm improving every day. My wife tells me I get better at it. But in all circumstances, I look at Scripture and it says I'm supposed to be Christ-like. Well, if I'm supposed to be Christ-like, it has to be 24/7 to the best of my ability. I get to practice life with God. And part of that, I've had to learn, do I believe that people are hurt and wounded? Absolutely. I'm a testimony to that. I'm a testimony to what God has done in my life to restore me. I believe that my life story is all about inner healing, being restored and renewed. But what I found out is in those moments when I used to, my first response was to repent. God, show me what it's in me. You know, I was focused on that old man. At some point in time, I recognized God's not interested in that. He's interested in the new man. He's interested in showing me what is the next thing he has for me. You know, okay, Greg, so you got upset, but I got this peace here for you. Remember the tools that I gave you to have peace in spite of that? That's what I want to show you. And that's my daily dialogue with God. You know, I believe that's how we're supposed to operate. I went, as a result of doing this to the best of my ability, you know, there was the word by a gentleman who wasn't even a Christian. And he was speaking to me about, he saw something in me that I had a very low self-esteem. Was, you know, just consumed with unworthiness. And it was a result of things that happened in my childhood and everything. That's not important. But he told me, he said, you need to practice valuing yourself. And boy, that word just hit me. And this is right at the time that I'm getting saved. And I went to God and I said, God, because up to that point, anytime I would make a mistake, anytime I would fall, I would have several days of dealing with shame and guilt and condemnation, you know. And something shifted. And it's kind of like, God, I'm going to practice to do better. And when I would fail, when I'd make a mistake, I was quick to repent. But I moved on. Because Scripture told me that once I repented, it was done, you know. So I recognized if it's not done in my mind, it's not because of God. It's all about me. It's all about the selfish me. I want to, you know, be in self-pity. And I recognized that self-pity was really a form of pride because I had to use pride to make me feel good about myself. The new man got to the place of, if I have God's joy and peace, it's all good. You know, circumstances don't change. I still lost my job. But, oh well. You know, part of the understanding of the new man was in Philippians. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. During this season, and even today, one of the things I've recognized is I'm made to live out of my heart. And my mind can be my enemy. And what I mean by that is that the enemy is always planning lies and thoughts in my head. I've gotten much, much better at recognizing the thoughts that come to my head that are not of God. I may not know if they're of the enemy or of my flesh, but I know they're not of God. So that was the first step for me. And I believe, you know, Scripture tells us that God made man in his image and likeness. So I believe in the core of all of us that that is true. But depending on how we choose to live life, we may not be Christ-like. And I remember early in, after God restored my marriage and early in my walk with the Lord, Mary and I happened to be with some people, and the question was asked of her in light of everything that they had heard, what our lifestyle was like and what I had done. It's kind of like, why did you take this guy back? And she made a comment, she, you know, kind of jokingly, she says, there was something in him I saw. And God spoke to me at that time that that was that image of him in me that I had no understanding of. I wasn't walking out, but it was there, and God showed her when I didn't believe it or see it. You know, I believe that's, I don't believe, I know that's why God restored my marriage. You know, because years ago, he spoke to me. Years ago, I went to, one of the things that I used to do, and it's not a good thing, but Mary would point things out in me, and I would always justify and come up with a rational reason why she was wrong. Well, you're this, you're that, and so on and so forth. Until she hit on something one time that I didn't like, and I discounted it initially, but I was wise enough to take it to God. And God really showed me that, yep, that thing's in you. Now, we can deal with it, but it's in you. The other thing that he spoke that is valuable from that day to this day. And what he showed me is he says, why would I not give you a wife that knows you better than anybody? Why would I not give you a wife that is listening to me so when you don't want to listen to me, you can hear it from her? And it just kind of like, okay. Yeah. So the thing about the free will is we get to choose. We can choose whether to be a victim of our circumstances and live there, or we can choose to say, yeah, that's part of my story, but that's not who I am. And if I truly believe everything that's in Scripture, then it's in there how to overcome. It's in there to how to have a different life. It's in there how to be a different person. It's all in there. You know, I, again, back to my wife. She can come home and we can sit down and we can talk and she can say, hey, don't forget we Saturday we got this and Friday night we're doing this. And it's kind of like, okay, got it booked. And we move on. And it's good. It's still a relationship, but it's very functional. Here's what I need. Here's what I want from you. Will you take care of this for me? Well, when I was first saved, that's the only way I prayed. God, I'm a wreck, man. You know. So I would go to him. And I'm not saying go to God, praying to God and putting our petitions before him. I'm not saying that's bad. But for the longest time, that was the only way I communicated to God. So it was very functional. He listened to me. But then all of a sudden, as I started recognizing that God was speaking to me and showing me things, I decided to practice just sitting and waiting. And all of a sudden, I started realizing that God was speaking to me of desires that he put in my heart, things that he wants for me, for my life. It was very relational. Now, I still, in the midst of busyness, will get caught up with a functional relationship with God. God, I need you to step in. I need this. I need this. Give me peace. Give me strength. But I do better at recognizing when I fall into that mode of, wait a minute. I can take 5 minutes in this moment to sit and listen. It becomes relational. So my encouragement is, there's scriptures throughout the Bible that show us how to live. And we have to choose. We don't have to. I choose to pursue that and believe it. I remember several years ago, wasn't that long ago, sometime 8, 9, 10 years ago, whenever it was, I was having a rough day. There's a lot of things that were going wrong. We had a family commitment, and I'm rushing home and trying to get out to it, and in the midst of it, I lose it and get upset, and I get offended at Mary, to the point, this is how crazy I could have been. As we're driving there, we're half a block from the house, and I tell her to stop the car, and I get out, and I walk home. Now, the good news is, by the time I got home, it's kind of like, oh, God, help me, you know? And one of the things, many things came out of it, but one of the things is I recognized that I was offended at something that she said. And I was kind of like, you know, why? But so it was a few hours before she came home. And in those few hours, I recognized that I can live my life without ever choosing to be offended. Now, at that time, it was just for Mary. Now, that was many years ago, and she came home, we had a discussion, and we talked about it, and I told her, I said, I choose not to ever be offended at anything you do. Are we perfect? Do we have misunderstandings? Do we have challenges to where we have to have communication? And absolutely. But I cannot remember a time from that moment to today that she's ever done anything that offended me. And I believe it's in part because on that night, God took me to a scripture that showed me I don't have to take offense if I choose not to. Goes back to that choice. You know, it goes back to the choice of choosing God's peace, God's joy, or choosing my own fleshly junk. One of the things that, and I'm sure we've all had these questions or these discussions, especially with a non-believer, it will come up, well, if God is loving and he cares about us, why does all this bad stuff happen?
The big question.
You know, and for me, one of the things I recognized early on, some things I'll never know until I get to heaven. Some things just aren't that important to me. They shouldn't be that important to me, and I choose not to let them. But as I look at my life, I see God has allowed things in his wisdom to happen that I know in his power he could have stopped. And I want to share something that is the most significant. As I've said, and I think most of you know that my life was full of addiction, was way out of control. And towards the end, I recognized that I was way out of control. And I went and sought some help and for the first time said, you know, I might have an alcohol and drug problem. Yeah. And so there was discussion with this doctor of, well, you need to go to Decatur. We need to put you inpatient. Okay, let me think about that. Well, within a short amount of time after that, I had to take my sister, who just graduated from high school, to Texas. It's gone for about a week, and I come back. And I come back to an empty house. Mary and the kids were gone. We'd been married for a little over 7 years at that time. And in that moment, it's kind of like I stopped. You know, God protected me during that time because from a physical medical standpoint, I could have suffered some pretty serious consequences. 3 days later in that moment is when God gave me the scripture in James, and a while later I got saved. The reason I bring that up is I do believe that God had the power to tell Mary, just hold on, I'm working with him, it's going to be okay. But if I wouldn't experience the loss of my wife and kids, I never would have learned how to love to the depth that I do. If I wouldn't experienced the struggles of having to choose day by day to overcome the traumas and the woundedness of my life, the scripture that God gave me about in James about increasing my perseverance, I would have never understood or believed that God put in me, as long as I connected with him, there's nothing I can't overcome. There's nothing I can't do. God allowed that to happen the way it unfolded, in my opinion, to love better and to have the strength to know that I'm not everything that the lies of the enemy told me. I truly am a new creation in God, and with him, anything is possible. You know, so that's just an example. But there's many of them. So for me, I believe that. I don't have understanding of why everything happens, but I do know that no matter what the circumstances, no matter what it is, I have a choice to pursue God's joy and peace, and understanding that's the foundation for the new man, for the true me. The true me is living a life of joy and peace. Do I do it 24/7? No. But I no longer identify with this wounded guy. I recognize that I'm affected by my story, but it's not who I am. It is not who I am. And out of that, God has burdened me for marriages. He's burdened me for men. He's burdened me for the hurt. You know, he's put on me a desire for inner healing, not only for myself and my immediate family, but for all people. And to whatever extent I can help or impact people, God uses me that way. Because that's the true me. So that's really all I have to say. I don't know how to tie it up. Other than I want to pray that for everyone. I want to pray that everyone, we have a choice every moment of every day. I look at every day. I go throughout every day, and I've told many people this. Part of the moments of appreciation for me is recognizing those little things that happen every day in my life that God's active in, that God's involved in. You know, in recent weeks, Scott and others have talked about opportunities to that God puts on our heart to speak to a homeless person or whatever the situation may be. We have to be Christ-like and pursue every day being Christ-like and living out of the new man and believing that we are a new man. for that to manifest, for that to be an active part of our life. Father God, my prayer today is that each day you will give me opportunities to draw closer to you, to see you active in my life, to continue the journey of life of healing, restoration, to live a life of joy and peace and overcoming. Father God, I pray for each and every person here that you would move on them, that you would speak to them, that they would come to understand and believe in their heart and in their mind that the example Jesus gave us is possible. That his peace, he's the Prince of Peace, and his peace is on us and in us. Father God, I pray for each and every person here that every day they will choose your joy, your peace, that they will choose to partner up with you to live life. Father God, I just pray that your word that tells us to rejoice always, you will make it alive in each and every person here, Father God. I thank you for loving us. I thank you for what you do in my life and each of our lives. I thank you for not giving up on us, for giving us another chances. I just thank you for love and peace and joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I wanted to do something, but I just wanted to say, I got some things out of what he had to say, but I just want to ask you, is anything that stuck out in your mind today, other than all you men, when you're not listening to God, listen to your wife, that was a good one. All the guys said, all your men. But there were several things, and the fact that we can choose to be offendable stood out in my mind very heavily. Yeah, Carlene. I am. Yeah, that's part of my story, but that's not who I am. That's really good. That's really good. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, somebody else? Another thing I personally really loved is that the battle, the struggle, the momentary, that's what the scripture calls on him. It's our opportunity for empowerment. Aaron. No, that was it. Yeah. I'll give you my list of things, yeah. Yeah, you know what? That's something I just want to say. All of a sudden, it hit me, I was thinking about prayer when he was talking. I said, talking to God is important, but listening to him is essential. You know, we all can start practicing talking to God really good, but can we actually listen? How much different would it look like if we actually just said, "I want to listen to you," and then do what you say? Yeah. Yes, Sharona. Sister Sharon, O you of great revelation. Yeah. There's something about how he connects our lives with the lives of the people around us, and our stories are actually impact the lives. That's so good. Stories, we're Yeah, it makes great sense. All how God, you know, nobody's an accident, and none of the things that we, when we run into and circumstances and situations, they have an opportunity to weave into the greater story, and that's just so true. That's so good. Yeah. Anybody else say, yeah, something impacted me or stood out to me, or I just think, because I'm, you know, I get an opportunity. I know Greg's story. I know his stories, and I've been around him a lot, but you know, the ability to say, you know, he practices what he preaches. He lives what he learns. He doesn't do it perfectly. Nobody does. But, you know, he's been one of the most assuring, confident, reassuring voices in my life for the last 30 years, probably 30. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's been that long. We got saved like a couple months apart. So, yes, Jacqueline. In the flesh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Paw, yeah. That's grandpa is what that means, yeah. 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 Yeah, that's good.
Okay, so it's a reset.
It's a reset. Yeah, it's a reset. That's good. Yeah. Yes.
Let me explain. I think most of you have heard this, but a moment of appreciation for me, and it was interesting because as I was, my life shifted to this, and then I go to a conference. Actually, it was a conference that Chris told me about 9 years ago, and here's these Christian psychiatrists talking about moments of appreciation. I thought, wow, moment of appreciation. My Paul moment, I'll describe real quick. Several years ago, I'm at home. The Gardner family comes over. Door swings open. First person in was Selah. Paul. And then Naya. And then Lily. Each one of them, Paul, Paul, Paul. And they come up and they hug me. And man, I felt loved. So later that night, God, why did you give me that moment? And what he spoke to me, the enemies lied to you your whole life. You're not worthy of love. You had a desire in your heart to be a husband and father that I put in there as a teenager. I wanted to show you that you're worthy of love. Now, when I say Paul,
<All that story. laughs>
not only does the visual come to my head of my kids coming in and say that, but of what God spoke to me. Those are moments of appreciation. They happen all the time. And if we recognize them, we can take a moment and ask God, well, why did you give me that? And I guarantee you, he'll tell you.
Amen. Yeah, you're just on that verge. Just go ahead and launch out there. Okay, I do know you. Yes, you wrestler. this is Jenny Nielsen in the I'm not sure if I'm going to raise my hand mode.
Yes. Can't hide. That's true. We can't hide, can we?
Can.
Yeah. Like I can relate a lot to what you're talking about, Greg, because I feel like I'm a very introverted, self-aware person, as you are, and God had to show me some things and the big change in my life. Sometime I'd like to just share my testimony up here. But I'm going to give part of it away right now. This bookmark changed my life. It's Neil Anderson's Freedom in Christ Ministries, Believing Satan's Lies and God's Truths. And that changed a lot. Me and you were talking a lot about those things. You basically shared that. So the thing that I wanted to expand upon and what you shared is that realizing why bad things happen. And you mentioned a lot about the word choice. And I think the bad things happen because God gave us the freedom to choose to love him. He wanted it to be free. He wanted us to be free to love him because he created us and he didn't want to just make robots. And if we didn't have that freedom, it wouldn't be genuine love. And so the bad things happen because God had the choice too to not be on that cross. He had the power and authority to be king and say, no, I'm good. I don't have to. But he chose to surrender all so that all could be with him. So, amen. Yeah. That's
good. Thank you. Okay. I'll let you. That's to answer your question. Yes. Mrs. Bradford. Now, if your voice is soft back there and we can't hear you, you will be required to come with the microphone. Just letting you know.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes my mind, I didn't really know what it meant to live in silence until I was in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes you have to stop and ask yourself that question. So when you mentioned a question like, what am I living out of?
Yes.
It kind of comes back to listening and do yourself the space to listen by asking a question.
Amen.
Even if it's not just you asking yourself, but just stopping for a moment.
Yes.
Sometimes in order to create a moment of silence, they're asking a question.
That's good. Yes, yes, that's so good.
And so just that simple question, what am I making this decision out of?
Uh-huh.
What am I living out of right now?
Yeah.
Stop.
Right.
And really
that's good.
And a lot of times when you stop and ask yourself that question,
yeah. Yes, he will. Absolutely. And you wind up not looking nearly as stupid as you might have just if you'd gone on without asking that question. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So that's so good, Anna. Thank you. Okay, and you, just so you know, just because you don't know everyone yet, that doesn't even matter. That means that we know you, yeah. So, we like you, so it's all good. Yeah, Chris.
You know, Greg, you were talking about that thing of shame where you say, I'm worthless, I'm no good, or the other fact is, well, if you think I'm bad, let me tell you about your fault.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's really hard to get
out of that. Yeah.
The only thing that it is what Greg said, I just thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
That you've immersed.
Door number three.
Right. Where did you pay the price? And I thank you that you did pay the price.
Yeah.
And because you're going to justify yourself by blaming yourself or blaming someone else.
Right. Yeah.
Or you just want to say, God, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You,
he breaks us out of the cycle. We don't break ourselves out of it. I mean, it's amen.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, let's pray. And so, Father, we just stand with me, if you will. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're speaking to our hearts, Lord, knitting us together with one another and with your purpose and your plan from eternity. Lord, our story is your story, God, and our story fits in, Lord, to the grand story of the redemptive work of the cross, Lord, from Genesis to Revelation, Lord, and into eternity. Father, we're part of your story. And we thank you, Lord, that as we yield to you, God, that you make it a beautiful story. God, with a beautiful ending, Lord, with beautiful relationships, wonderful opportunities, Lord, and choices that glorify you, Father, and empower us to live as victors and not as victims. Lord, we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, friends, we have just a little bit of different format today. We would like to just get underway right away, showing you what the building's going to look like. If you will want to hang out and see and put in your input, so it's on a big board right here.